Well, hello and welcome to our online service today from St Andrew's and All Saints in Malvern. It's really great to have you with us wherever you are, and I want to say a special shout out today to our new friends who are watching from just outside of Los Angeles in America who contacted us this week. It's great to have you particularly with us, and if you are watching from somewhere else in the country or never been here in person before, please do fill in our connect with us or on form on online on our website, or do email us on my email that will appear at the end of this service. We would love to hear from you. So today is Pentecost Sunday, that Sunday where we remember the Holy Spirit first coming onto the disciples and empowering them to speak of Jesus in Jerusalem. That day when 3,000 people there in Jerusalem became Christians and repented and believed and were baptized. And, you know, we're going to celebrate today. This is often called the birthday of the church. And we're going to ask God again to fill us afresh with his Holy Spirit. But first, we're going to just say some words which just remind us of some of those things that the Holy Spirit does, those things that the Holy Spirit gives us. So I'm going to say the words in yellow and do join in with the words in white, wherever you are. So come, Holy Spirit, the wind of God, the breath of life. Come, Holy Spirit, our advocate, our counselor. Come, Holy Spirit, teacher of wisdom, reminder of Christ. Come, Holy Spirit, granter of forgiveness, giver of peace. Come, Holy Spirit, may we feel God breathing through our worship. May we receive the Holy Spirit in this place. Amen. And we're going to continue our worship by singing a song which may be new to many of us, called Rest on Us. Just allow the words again to just wash over you. Allow God to minister, his Spirit to minister to us through these words and this song.
I know you're moving. I'm here and I know you'll feel me.
So come, Holy Spirit, just like in the upper room. Come and rest on us. Come and fill us afresh with your power. Come and reveal more of who Jesus is to us. Come and soften our hearts, we pray. Amen. Well, these last few days have been the Thy Kingdom Come Global Prayer Initiative, and today is the last day, if you're watching this on Pentecost Sunday, today is the last day of the 10 days of prayer, 11 days of prayer, that people have been praying throughout the world for the Holy Spirit to come, for people who don't yet know Jesus to come to know Jesus. And last week, I particularly challenged that people, invited people to find one particular person, one particular situation to pray for God's river of blessing to flow over. And Val's going to just share a story now of just what happened with the person that she prayed for last week. And then we're going to hear one of the Thy Kingdom Come videos, which have been really inspiring this week, the daily videos of someone who has lived a life of prayer and someone who has inspired me to just continue to pray for others in these days and months and years ahead. So enjoy these two stories.
Last Sunday, Dave encouraged us all to pray specifically for God's healing for one particular place or situation. I felt clearly led to pray for one of the people on my Pray for Five list for Thy Kingdom Come. I help to operate the Octagon Community Pantry every Tuesday, and this person, S, is a regular user. He has been out of work for much of the COVID period because of the nature of his business. The previous Tuesday, he had come saying that he had not eaten for several days because he had no money. I shared my prayers with Linda before the start of Tuesday's session. She looked at me in utter amazement and said, "I chose to pray for him too." We both felt sure that God was at work and prayed together before the session that S would come and come when it was quiet so that we could talk to him. Sure enough, S came and alone. We asked how he was and he said, "Very tired." He went on to explain that this is because he has got some work surge testing in Redditch. We couldn't quite believe our ears that God had answered our prayers almost before we had prayed them. Linda shared with him that we are both Christians and he had both been praying that he would get work, and we shared about our Sunday service. We reacted positively, though without actually saying very much in response. We are both very excited to see how God has answered our prayers. Please pray that we would have further opportunities to talk to S.
My granddad was Stuart Betts, and he was an amazing man, brother, friend.
His main thing was his faith in God. So that was how he started the day, finished the day.
Granddad, out of anyone in my life, showed me the most joy. And I'm reminded of that all the time, how much joy a man of 90 years old with cancer and all sorts of problems, you know, that he had his, you know, granny, his wife just died, and, you know, but he showed so much joy.
He would get up in the morning, make a cup of tea, and he would do his Bible reading and his praying down here in the morning. And then he had this prayer book which expanded and expanded. And he prayed for different people every day. So he would meet someone, and then if they had a problem or something that needed praying for, he'd put that by the side of it. And there's just pages and pages of names, just little notes of different needs as well, intertwined with all these names. It's incredible.
And so often he would pray for us, so he would get up and he would pray for us as grandchildren. I think there's 15 grandchildren, and they all love Jesus, and many of them are working for churches, many of them are on aid or doing amazing things for Jesus, and I put that down to his prayer over the years. It just must, there must be a connection between his prayer and our faith and how important it is to each one of us.
It has definitely been an inspiration to me to keep my faith simple. I think that he would just like to get the message out there for people to keep praying and keep persisting and maybe have a prayer diary. It's enjoyable as well. He enjoyed it and he had a relationship with God and he wanted to pass that on to other people.
You can't put a figure or a number on prayer, but actually it's probably worth way more than we could ever dream of or imagine. Yeah.
Prayer is probably worth way more than we could ever dream of or imagine. How true that is, I'm sure. And I wonder whether before we move on in our service, we pause now. And if you've been praying for five people each day this week, I want to encourage you to stop now and pray for those five again. That actually they would come to know Jesus, that they would be blessed, that they would know God's blessing and God's presence in their lives. And if you haven't been praying for five people this week, you know, maybe this is the time to start. And maybe in the quiet, ask God, who are my five that I can commit to praying for? Maybe even starting your own prayer journal like that man, that inspirational man in the story that we've just shared. So let's be still now and offer prayers for our five to God. And do go on praying for those people in the coming days. We're going to have our Bible reading now from Carol. And we nearly redid this video because there was a great wind in the background where she was taking the video from. But you know, how appropriate that on the reading for Pentecost, there is a great wind in the background. Enjoy hearing the wind as well as the words.
When the day of Pentecost came, all the believers were gathered together in one place. Suddenly there was a noise from the sky, which sounded like a strong wind blowing, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then they saw what looked like tongues of fire, which spread out and touched each person there. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to talk in other languages, as the Spirit enabled them to speak. Then Peter stood up with the other 11 disciples and in a loud voice began to speak to the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, listen to me and let me tell you what this means. These people were not drunk, as you suppose. It was only 9 o'clock in the morning. Instead, this is what the prophet Joel spoke about. This is what I will do in the last days, says God. I will pour out my spirit on everyone. Your sons and daughters will proclaim my message. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will have dreams. Yes, even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in these days, and they will proclaim my message. I will perform miracles in the sky above, and wonders on the earth below. There will be blood, fire, and thick smoke. The sun will be darkened, and the moon will turn red as blood before the great day and glorious day of the Lord comes. But then whoever calls out to the Lord for help will be saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let's pray, shall we? Father, would you take these words, would you breathe your Spirit's life into them and breathe your Spirit's life into us to transform us into the people that you call us to be. People who join in with you in bringing in your kingdom in this world. Amen. Well, I want to say, first of all, happy birthday, church. You know, it's good to celebrate another birthday together on Pentecost, isn't it? You know, it must be nearly our 2000th birthday, I think. We're probably 10 years or something to go, aren't we? If Jesus was born in 4 BC, as they think he might have done. Birthdays are often a time of reflection, aren't they? A time of looking back, looking forward, and taking stock. As some of you know, I had my 49th birthday last week, and I must admit, going into my last year of this half century did cause me to ponder one or two things. But enough of me and enough of that. So I want to ask us a question to get us thinking on our church birthday. If your smartphone... Where's mine? Here we are. If your smartphone indicated not just your phone battery power level, but your spiritual power level, what would it currently show? 80% charged? 50% charged? 10% charged? Or perhaps even it would be flashing red and saying 30 seconds until shut down. I think for many of us, after such a challenging year and the restrictions that we faced with worship, it's been really tough. And the reality is that many of us, if we're honest, are running on low spiritual battery and are really pretty empty at this time. And so perhaps this promise that we're looking at today in this series of the promises of God, the promise of the Spirit, is really timely. And a real gift from God and an invitation to all of us today to come back to him and be refilled. Come and be recharged once again. And I want to suggest that here on Pentecost 2021, we need a fresh infilling of God's Spirit more than ever. For as I've reflected on the story of Pentecost this year, I've been aware of some particular similarities with the first disciples at Pentecost and us, the 21st century church here in, what are we, May 2021. Let's just reflect for a moment on what was going on with those first disciples and see what we might have in common with them. You see, they were in a massive time of transition, weren't they? Jesus, their leader, had just left them. They were used to following him, allowing him to do his mission and just helping him out with it. And suddenly they were left on their own now to lead others and continue his mission as he'd called them to, but without him to lead them in person anymore. They were in a massive time of transition. What else is that they didn't know what the future looked like. You know, they'd never been a church before. They were going to have to make it up as they went along. There were no blueprints as to show them how to do it. And on top of that, they were almost certainly feeling quite wobbly and vulnerable, I think. You know, they'd had the shock of seeing Jesus killed, rise to life and ascend again. They'd been through what could only be described as a real trauma in the previous few weeks. And not only that, but that they weren't anyone special. You know, they were just a bunch of ordinary people. In Acts 4 verse 13, we read the religious leaders called them unschooled, ordinary men. Just a bunch of ordinary people, feeling quite wobbly and vulnerable after a traumatic time, in a massive time of transition, having no idea at all what the future looked like. Does that sound familiar? It certainly does with me. I think it describes just really well how I feel a lot of the time at the moment. And I wonder even whether those first disciples were dwelling on that verse that we've been dwelling on a lot from 2 Chronicles 20 verse 12. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. You know, it certainly would have been a brilliant verse to describe just what they did, wouldn't it? For those early disciples, those ordinary people feeling wobbly and vulnerable in that massive time of transition, followed God's lead and stepped into an unknown future which changed the world in a way that no one could have imagined. And what was it that made the difference? What was it that made it all possible? Well, it was, of course, the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. You see, the very thing that they didn't do as soon as Jesus ascended into heaven was to go out straight away in their own strength, form a committee, gather a PCC, put together a 5-year strategic plan and head off on mission, relying on their own natural skills and abilities to lead a new global movement. No, that's not what they did, but they could easily have done it, couldn't they? They could have gone straight into the towns and villages as soon as Jesus had left them and started preaching. For they knew the message, didn't they? Jesus had died, Jesus has risen, repent and follow him. They knew that. They could have just got on with it and headed straight out into the surrounding village streets to heal the sick, as Jesus had also taught them to. They could have done that. But I suspect if they had just headed off in their own steam, not much would have happened. They wouldn't have seen much fruit. They certainly wouldn't have seen the impact that they did see on the day of Pentecost. And so instead, they did what Jesus had told them to do. I'll say it again, because that's a vital phrase, not to throw away threads. They did what Jesus had told them to do. They gathered there in the upper room in Jerusalem and they waited. They waited for God's timing and for God's empowering. They waited for the promise of the Spirit to be fulfilled, not having a clue just what it would be like, not having a clue what the future would hold for them. Now, the promise of the Spirit dated back several hundred years. The first sign of the promise we find right back in Ezekiel, just a few chapters before where we were last week, in chapter 36 of Ezekiel, where God says this to his people in exile. He says, "I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from your heart you a heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws." It's a profound promise. The promise of the Spirit starts with the promise that the Spirit would change their hearts, that he would soften their hard hearts, cleanse their impure hearts, and lead them to follow the way of Jesus. You know, what a great starting point. And I think that's a great starting point for us too. You see, I wonder whether for many of us, if we're honest, our hearts have hardened over this last year. Maybe a little. Maybe a lot. Well, as a quick change of scene there, the joys of filming sermons. I love the analogy that Nikki Gumbel does on the Alpha Course about us and the Spirit being a bit like a sponge sometimes. You know, if a sponge has been out of water for a long time, then it can get dry and hard. And then when you try and pour water on it, it doesn't really absorb, but it just sort of bounces off it and doesn't really absorb anything. And I wonder if some of us are like that. In this current time, just having been out of corporate worship for so long, that we've got dry, that our hearts have got hard. And maybe when we hear the word of God, and maybe when God speaks to us currently, you know, it just sort of bounces off, and it doesn't really affect us and doesn't penetrate deep within us. And you see, what we need is to be soaked again in his Spirit, to dwell and become saturated by his presence again, so that as we do that, you know, God's Spirit will soften us and soften us to be filled again. So that when we go about our daily lives, you know, we're so filled with the Spirit of God that God's presence leaks out of us, it drips out of us. God's living water drips out of us into our communities. And then we return to God to be soaked in his presence again, to be refilled. And then we go out again, soaking, dripping with God's presence, God's life-giving water into our communities. You know, if that resonates with you, if you sense, you know, my heart is hard and dry at the moment, then maybe your biggest prayer today is, Holy Spirit, will you soften my heart again? You see, if our hearts are not softened, then the Spirit won't be able to penetrate and do all the other things and empower us and fill us all with all the other things that he wants to do in us and through us. It starts with softening our hearts. And then the next sign of the promise comes in the Old Testament in the book of Joel, chapter 2. And that's the passage that Peter quotes from here on the day of Pentecost. And Joel says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. You know, this bit of the promise declared that the Holy Spirit would come on all people who believe. Not just on a few special people, as it had been up to then in the Old Testament, when the Spirit came on specific people at specific times for specific purposes. Now, something different was about to happen. The Holy Spirit was suddenly going to be available for everyone, young and old, male and female, servants and masters. And that was really significant. And I think sometimes we don't quite grasp how significant that really was to the people of that time. That God's presence was going to be available to come and dwell in everyone who believed. And as Romans 8 verse 11 says, that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. You know, do we really believe that? Because it's true. The Spirit that conquered death for Jesus is living in you and in me. You know, what would it look like if we really stepped out into all of that? If we really got the significance of all of that? And then these verses from Joel declare particularly that the Spirit would give us supernatural gifts. And this passage particularly speaks about prophecy and visions and dreams. And what's prophecy? Well, one person has described it as this: a supernatural enabling by the Spirit of God to hear his voice and then deliver the message of what that voice is saying. Let's break that down. It's supernatural. You see, it's stuff that doesn't come from us and our own good ideas. It comes from God. It's about hearing God's voice. Hearing what God wants to say to us, what God is instructing us in this moment. It might be a word of encouragement for somebody. It might be a word of revelation about who God is or direction about the future. And then, of course, there's the last part about actually we need to deliver the message. If prophecy is to have an impact, the message must be shared. It must be delivered to others. You know, one of the things that we need more than anything in this season of transition, I think, for us as a church and for us as individuals, is for God to release the gift of prophecy amongst us. For him to speak and show us his direction, his revelation, his leading for the future. And not just for us to go ahead with our own good ideas. You know, we were trying to do that at PCC on Thursday as we discerned God's way ahead for our service patterns. It's not about our ideas. It's about God's vision and direction and hearing his voice. And the great message of Joel is that God can give that to anyone. And not just the old, not just the leaders, not just the mature in faith, those who've been Christians for years, but anyone, young and old, male or female, new faith or old faith. I was sharing with one of our new couples this week about some of the prophetic messages I've been given over the years, which sounded really odd at the time, but proved to be absolutely spot on. I'm thinking particularly of my Narnia wardrobe story. Ask me if you've not already heard it. You see, God really does speak and direct us. We are simply called to be open to his Spirit. And that invitation is for any of us. Will you in this season pray and ask God for the gift of prophecy? Will you ask him to speak to you for direction in your own life, for direction for us as a church? Ask him to give you prophetic words for others. And then have the courage in humility to offer those words to others and see what God does. That's the Old Testament. Then when we get into the New Testament, we see John the Baptist continue to speak of the promise of the Spirit. And then Jesus, of course, speaks too of the promise of the Spirit. And we're going to hear more about that in next week's sermon. And then finally in Acts 2, the day of Pentecost came. And what is it that the disciples are doing in preparation for that? Well, in Acts chapter 1, we read that they were gathered together, waiting and praying. You know, what a great posture for preparing our hearts and being open to the Spirit. And that's what we're specifically doing tonight at St. Andrew's. If you're watching this on Sunday between 6 and 7, do come along and see what God does and how he leads us. We had a great time last week, and this week we're going to be reflecting further on some of these things that I'm sharing now and allowing God's Spirit to speak to us and direct us. And then after the waiting, after the praying, the Spirit finally came at the perfect moment. When hundreds, thousands of visitors from all over the region were gathered there in Jerusalem for the Jewish Feast of Pentecost. Pentecost, that feast which celebrated the first fruits of the harvest. And in some ways, how symbolic that was of, on that day, the first fruits of the disciples' mission were being harvested. And we know the rest of the story, don't we? A violent wind, tongues of fire, disciples speaking in different languages. And the Holy Spirit transformed those wobbly, vulnerable, ordinary disciples into powerful preachers of the gospel who boldly spoke about Jesus. And that little trickle of God's Spirit, thinking back to last week, that little trickle of God's Spirit turned into a powerful river of healing as 3,000 were converted that day. And then the Holy Spirit empowered and directed those uneducated, ordinary men over the coming weeks and months and years to perform miracles, to heal the sick, to release signs and wonders, to gather those first believers into a remarkable community of blessing and generosity. A community who loved each other deeply and so lived radically that even the non-religious historians of the time couldn't help but comment on what an impact those radical first churches made. And the trickle of God's Spirit grew, first ankle deep, then knee deep, then waist deep, and then turned into a powerful, deep, transforming and healing river that not even the most brutal persecution of the day could stop. And now we are part of that river. Why? Because the fire of the Holy Spirit had come on those first disciples that day. You know, how we long for that fire of the Holy Spirit again. How we need the Holy Spirit to come and fill us afresh. And I believe that the church needs it as much as ever today at Pentecost 2021 as we continue to face an uncertain future. I want to close with a quote from a guy called Malcolm MacDonald, someone who a few of us have heard speak at New Wine in his brilliant book, Set Me on Fire, which I really recommend you buying and reading. And in it he says this, he says, Holy Spirit fire is needed to know fervency in prayer, passion in worship, power in evangelism, and love for the scriptures. The Spirit of God desires to burn brightly in us. He wants to do signs and wonders that point to Jesus. He wants to empower holy living and clear witness and loving actions. He wants to reconcile families, restore marriages, feed the poor and heal the sick. The Holy Spirit is the great need for the church. We have many great programs, but our crying need is for God's power to enable us to live our lives more like Jesus. Are you in? We need to pray, come, Holy Spirit. And so I want to just invite us to take a moment of reflection now and to be still and to be open and to wait in the quiet. Even though it may feel awkward, don't forward wind the YouTube channel now. If anything, pause it. And let's just be still and wait and see what God directs us to. Just want to ask you the question, what do you want to ask God for today on our church birthday? What do you want to ask God for today on our church birthday? Since for some, actually, the thing to ask first of all, before anything else, is that God would give you a softer heart. That he would soften your heart again by his Spirit. To take away that heart of stone where stuff of God just bounces off. And give you a heart of flesh, which can be filled and saturated with God's Spirit again. And just maybe too, that is, he wants, as we've shared, to release the prophetic gift amongst us. Maybe actually we've had that in the past even and we've just got out of practice. Or maybe we've never known God speaking his voice to us. I want to invite you to ask God, Lord, would you give me that gift of prophecy, that gift of hearing your voice for the church, for others? And then do what we've talked about. Actually share that message, pass that message on when God gives it to you. Offer it humbly for others to test. And then maybe there's the empowering for mission, isn't there? Just like those disciples were given boldness to speak of Jesus. Maybe you want to say, God, will you empower me for mission? Will you give me that boldness to speak of Jesus on my front lines, to my neighbours, to my family, to my work colleagues? Softer heart, releasing of the prophetic, empowering for mission. Maybe you want to pray for all three. Certainly pray for all three for us, the church, in this time. I want you to ask him confidently today. For God is a good God who wants to give good gifts to his children, as it says in Matthew 7. God loves to give good gifts to his children. So why don't we ask right now? We say, come Holy Spirit. Come and minister wherever we are amongst us. Come and soften our hearts. Come and release the prophetic. Come and empower us for mission. And there's one thing which was shared earlier today, which was someone had a sense of God wanting to heal those who've just encountered broken promises or maybe broken vows in their life. If you are someone who just, people have really let you down, then a word for today is that the Spirit particularly wants to heal you and restore you and to show that God keeps his promises and he wants to bless you today. Let's just continue to be in that place as the band leads us in worship. Just be open to God ministering to you however he wants to right now.
You breathe life, you restore, awaken my soul, I know that I've been made more. You speak truth, you renew, when I'm in presence, you show me your glory of you. Spirit, flow. Spirit, flow. Fall on us, fall.
Fall on us, for we As we pray together today, we'll be using a response. When I say, into these places, we pray, come Holy Spirit, I ask you to respond, come Holy Spirit. Let us pray. As you've heard the news this week, what have you noticed about places and people around the world where they are in transition and life seems very wobbly? Pray for them now in the silence. Lord, we pray for the places we've named before you, and we pray for India, for Gaza, and for Palestine. Into these places, we pray, come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit. Think about what you're noticing about our nation, and pray for the places and people which feel wobbly or in transition. Pray for them now in the silence. Lord, we pray for the people and places we have named before you. We pray especially for the public health teams in Nuneaton, Bolton, and other places, and all the staff who are managing the vaccination and COVID testing programs. We pray for people living with anxiety and depression, for whom wobble is part of their daily life. We pray for people in transition, for business restarting out of lockdown. We pray for people who have not been able to have good endings over the last year and who feel stuck and sad. Into these places we pray, come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit. Think about what you notice in our own community where people feel wobbly or in transition. Looking towards Brook Farm, we pray for the work of the Octagon and people who need to use the pantry and CAP, and those who haven't yet found the confidence to come. Looking towards the Severn Valley and Worcester, we pray for people in work situations where they need your spirit to come. Looking towards Upton and the countryside, we pray for farmers managing this unusual weather. And looking towards the hills, we pray for all the businesses who rely on tourism to make ends meet. And we pray in the silence for people in this place who we know need the trickle or rush of your spirit. Into these places we pray, come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit. And we pray for ourselves. Our feelings, our expectations, our unfinished endings, our wobbles and our joys. Into our hearts, our minds, our spirits and our bodies, we pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Soften our hearts, Lord, recharge us and raise our expectations that your kingdom will come in our lives, our families, our town, our nation, and our world, as we say together the words that Jesus taught his friends. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. For For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
I want to really encourage you to just continue thinking of those things throughout this week and praying for them. And particularly that spirit of prophecy. Maybe make your prayer this week that God would give you one thing to share with one person to encourage them this week. And maybe just pray, who is that person? And ask God, what do you want me to share with them? It might be that you share it on text. It might be that you phone them. It might be you write it on a card. It might be that you say it to them in person. But ask God for one person and ask him to give you one thing to share particularly with them, to encourage them and bless them in the coming week. And if you also, as you're praying, do pray for us as a church as we continue to discern the way forward. As you're praying for the church, if you discern God saying something to us as a church, then do please stick it on an email, send it to us, ring me up. We would love to hear that. Remember, God speaks to everybody. God gave his prophetic spirit to everybody, young and old, mature and new Christians. So why don't you go and do that in this coming week? And just as we finish, I want to read a poem. A poem which is hot off the press, was only written yesterday morning by Paul Hunt from up at All Saints. He's been writing poems for Ascension Day last week and for a service I did a couple of weeks ago at All Saints. And he's written a poem. I asked him to write a poem for Pentecost. So here is Paul's poem, Pentecost 2021. Tongues of fire on each. Can it be me too? Not more on one than on another. All caught up in something far beyond our mind conceiving. Here is liberation from all the towers of Babel I've tried to build and even to climb. Here the Spirit, releasing my innermost depths, imprisoned by the heart of stone, and now opening my inner eyes to see beyond the seeming appearance of things. Our fleshly selves, oh so fragile, becoming a consuming flame, even if I cannot see my own, and yet as gentle as a lit candle. It's all about the unveiling of our sight, enlightened to find in the present moment, in this place where I stand with this breath that I draw into my lungs, a flowing again of Pentecostal fire from the crucified, tortured body of the cross. The water of the Spirit and the blood of life outpoured into the desperate wounds and tears of humanity. Here again, if you can, the murmur of living water on this Pentecostal day, calling to each of us, come to the Father. And so fill our lives, Holy Spirit of God, with joy and love and hope. Live in us so that we can show others how much you love them. Amen. And may God the Spirit empower and transform us. May God the Son inspire us to follow him. May God the Father surround us with his love. God bless and amen.